morning and welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. This is the second Sunday in Lent, and we are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Dwayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, our musical director, Dave Valerio, Miss Heather and others from the Sunday School for Family Sunday, and Gil Reinders for the Mission Moment. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Come, let us worship God, our Father, above us in majesty. Come, let us worship God, the Son, beside us in grace. Come, let us worship God, the Holy Spirit, within us in love. Amen. God, descend upon our hearts, empower us, refresh us, enlighten us, heal us, and comfort us. Grant us peace as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I think it's my turn to introduce the Sunday school program and what we've been doing. We've been talking about several things. We talked about the Good Samaritan, we talked about Ruth and Boaz, and we talked about God's kindness to us and the way that we should be kind to other people. And I don't know about you, and at a young age, you can even start to feel it, that you know who the mean people are. You know the people who want to take advantage of you, or they talk behind your back, or they exclude you from the group. And that's really hard. That's hard to take. And from the story of the Good Samaritan, we found that it was the least likely person that helped this person who had been beaten up and kind of left for dead by robbers. They took everything he had, practically all even the clothes that he had, and just left them there. And several people came by, religious leaders of the church, and they came by and they just looked the other way and just kept on walking. And that was really, really hard to take. The guy may have been unconscious, so he probably didn't know that. But it was somebody who was an outsider who stopped, took care of his wounds, gave him something to drink, and then actually put him on his donkey and brought him to a town and paid for lodging so he could get better, and then said to the person there that he would pay for the expenses while the person healed. Now, we may not run across this kind of a thing, and I hope we don't, that we find somebody who's left on the side of the road for dead after being beaten up. But there are ways that we can help other people in smaller ways, like if you're at school, once we get back to school, and somebody's being picked on, you can stand up for that person, or you can start your own little group where you guys are, you know, can share things and have special time with each other, and kind of not get into those kind of groups that are kind of always picking on each other and making comparisons and things like that. And I know when people are mean to me, it's like, that's a bad feeling. But then on the other hand, when people are kind and they take time to listen and they really listen and know you, that's really special. And in the Bible, we also learn that kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that God plants in our hearts, because sometimes it's not easy for us to be kind, especially to those people who aren't necessarily kind to us. And we're told to be kind to those people that really aren't that kind to us, like to pray for your enemies. That's a hard thing to do, to pray for your enemies and kind of like sit back and be the bigger person. So those were good things for us to learn about kindness, love, loyalty, and patience. And that's kind of what we learned in the tween group. And I'll let the other teachers talk about what they learned.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn. Before Heather shares a little bit about what we talked about in the K-5 class, I just am going to want to show a short video that talks a little bit about as well our theme for the month.
When you hear kind, what comes to mind? A snack bar? A good word of the month at school? A great catchphrase for a t-shirt? Kindness can be all those things, but it can't stop there. Kindness isn't something you wear on the outside. It's what comes from the inside. Kindness chooses to slow down and see the value in someone else, even if you are upset, tired, or in a hurry. Kindness chooses to treat everyone like they're made in the image of God, even if they're different, overlooked, or unloving. See, when you choose kindness, you choose your words wisely. I can't believe you did that! Ah. I'm sorry you had a rough day. How can I help? When you choose kindness, you offer it to everyone. From your family and friends, to that grouchy old neighbor, and that kid at school you can't stand. When you choose kindness, others see the love of God shining through you. That's why kindness is an amazing way to worship God with your life. Because worship is about more than just singing loud. It's all about living loud. Woo!
So this month, the theme was Superfan. And it was cheer each other on. And the monthly life application was kindness. And they learned that it meant showing others they are valuable by how you treat them. And the basic truth was, I should treat others the way I want to be treated. So for the first week, the bottom line was, be kind to others because God is kind to you. And the Bible story was from the Ephesians. And the passage was, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And we had some phrases that we took that were negative, and we turned them around to make them more positive phrases. For the second week, our bottom line was, be kind to your family and friends. And the Bible story was Ruth and how she stuck by her mother-in-law, Naomi, and refused to leave her, even when Naomi told Ruth to return to her family. We talked about how sometimes it's difficult, or sometimes it's easier, to be kind to strangers than we are to our own family, because our family is always there, or especially now, our family is always there. So sometimes it can be difficult to be kind, especially when you spend so much time with someone, you just figure they're always there and, you know, we can get on each other's nerves. For the third week, our bottom line was, be kinder than you have to be. And the Bible story was from Matthew. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And they explain this by saying, in Roman times, if a soldier was walking by you and they saw you, they could ask you to carry their backpack or their gear. And their gear was really heavy and you couldn't refuse. So if they said to you, I want you to, you know, you need to carry my stuff, you couldn't say no. You had to do it, and you had to carry it for 1 mile. And after that 1 mile, you could decide, you could say, okay, I'm done. But a lot of times people would carry that extra mile because that said, I'm important and you're important. So that's where we actually get that phrase about going the extra mile, which is something that I learned. I didn't know that. But we have opportunities every day to show kindness, but what about going beyond, above and beyond? And for our last week, which would have been this week, but I always try to include it so that they get all the messages, because a lot of them are, it seems like the last week seems to be one of the most important. Week four's bottom line was, be kind to people who are different from you. And the Bible story we had for that was the Good Samaritan from Luke. And it was, the point was that your neighbor doesn't always look like you, talk like you, or dress like you, but no matter how different they are your neighbor, and God wants you to be kind to them. So we talked about how there's people that comes in all different shapes and sizes and colors, and they like different things than you do, but no matter what it is, we still need to, and we should be kind to all people. So that was what we did this week, was this month, was kindness. And next month is going to be patience. So that should be an interesting one. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heather. Mr. Dave, do you want to share your song of the month with us?
Yes. So I like to write a song. Since I'm not involved with the Sunday school, or we don't have the kids choir anymore, but I like to write a fun little song that goes along with the theme. And going along with the theme of the month for the Sunday school, I like the phrase, it doesn't cost anything to be kind. I see that a lot around now. And so I went with that theme, and I wrote a song called It Don't Cost You Nothing to Be Kind. So here's the song, and it has a great little message that goes along with the Sunday school teachings of the month. So here's It Don't Cost You Nothing to Be Kind.
It don't cost you nothing to be nice. Something that's for nothing's worth the price. Sometimes a single word is all it takes, you'll find. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. I knew a guy, and bad luck was his friend. A streak of bad luck, time and time again. I said, mister, can't you see that sunshine on you and me? It's the light of hope, on God you can depend. It don't cost you nothing to be nice. and something that's for nothing's worth that price. A minute of your time is all it takes, you'll find. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. I saw a little boy, and he had quite a pout. He broke his new toy, he was down and out. I said, that's okay, I'll share. Now we found someone to care. Sharing to be kind, that's what friends are all about. It don't cost you nothing to be nice. When you get something for nothing, that's worth the price. A simple, caring gesture is all it takes, you'll find. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. As simple as cleaning up your mess when you're done, or holding the door with a smile for someone. Be kind and you will see it's contagious as can be. Kindness, love, and caring can't be overdone. It don't cost you nothing to be nice. And something that's for nothing's worth the price. Sometimes a single word is all it takes, you find. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. Hey, I can help you with that. That's what friends are for. Hey, let's do something you want to do. I know you can do it. Did I ever tell you I'm so glad you're my friend? It don't cost you nothing to be nice. And something that's for nothing's worth the price. Sometimes a single word is all it takes, you find. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. Sometimes a single word is all it takes, you find. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. Oh, free all the time. It don't cost you nothing to be kind. Not a single dime. It don't cost you nothing. Not one red cent. To be kind. Oh yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Dave.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Dave. I think I'm going to be singing that all day long. It's going to be one of those tunes that's just going to stick with us, I suspect. So this is the time for our mission moment. So Gil Reinders, would you take over, please?
Okay, and thank you, Dave, for that song. Doesn't cost nothing to be kind. And now I'm here from the mission committee. And sometimes it is nice to share the funds and gifts that the Lord has provided us to help others that are in need. And so just a reminder on this last day of February that our February project was providing financial support for Loretta Lomoff. And if you're not familiar with Loretta, most of you would know Nikolai Lomoff, who for many years was our organist and leader of the choir, a concert pianist of renown, worldwide renown, and just a lovely gentleman that we all came to love. And you know, he suffered some injuries, and over the last few years after he wasn't able to fulfill that responsibility here at the church, We recognized his birthday in February by providing support to cover some of his medical expenses. And just recently, the Lord called him home. And so now we thought it would just be a nice gesture in memory of Nikolai and our love for him, just to continue to support Loretta with some of those expenses. So if you haven't contributed, we encourage you to do so this week, as the mission committee would like to see that come the following week, we can provide those funds to Loretta. Now, for the month of March, our project is going to be collecting funds for our church's wider mission. This always corresponds with the final giving on Easter Sunday, and Easter Sunday just happens to be the first Sunday in April this year. So we thought we'd make this the March project. Kathy has provided an attachment with today's meeting. And also you'll see the same information in the triad, which gives a wonderful overview of how the funds for OCWM are used. You'll see the services that the Southern New England Conference provides to clergy, to all of us by way of leadership development, and as well as the services that we all provide to our communities, and also how it supports the national UCC organization in supporting worldwide services. And so just to keep this brief, I found a wonderful 2-minute video on the national website that Wayne's going to play for us. It just gives you an exciting insight into the UCC, and in particular, how the funds are used through this particular offering. So I'll let Wayne take it away and then turn it back to Reverend Carroll.
OCWM, our church's wider mission. The name given to congregational gifts that support wider United Church of Christ ministry in associations, conferences, and in the national and global church. Working together is the ideal way to have the greatest impact in all the UCC does. Giving to OCWM multiplies the love and power of one congregation with thousands of others, making it possible to emphasize God's continuing testament in the world, to change lives, and to widen the extravagant welcome of the UCC churches to create a just world for all. Your contribution to our church's wider mission supports the UCC to take stands for justice, teach best practices for pastors and congregations, respond to disasters and human tragedies, foster spiritual growth and discernment, raise our children in faith. Your support for OCWM results in spreading God's love to more people in more places than any one of us can do alone. Your commitment to OCWM basic support and the four special mission offerings is recognized in the 5 for 5 program. Gratitude is not a strong enough word to express the tremendous spirit of thankfulness expressed throughout the settings of the church for those that have achieved the 5 for 5 designation. We thank you today and for your continued generosity.
For sharing that. OCWM is always our Easter offering, so you will be receiving probably, I don't know if you'll receive it in the mail or not, but you can make that as your Easter offering this year. Just a few announcements. Looks like Kathy Trowbridge has rounded up some help for the St. Patrick's Day Family Feast corned beef dinner. So that's going to be happening on Friday, March 12th. So be sure to get your reservations in by calling or emailing the church office, and that will be ready for you on that day. I'd like to also remind you that next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so it's Communion Sunday, and once again, we will be celebrating communion virtually. So be ready with some bread, some wafers, whatever you wish to use, and something to drink at that time. Are there any other announcements? If so, please feel free to unmute yourselves and shout them out. Not hearing anyone coming to the microphones, then Mr. Dave, would you please introduce your music?
Yes. So nice to have you with us here this morning. And the opening hymn this morning was Take Time to Be Holy. And I'm glad that you guys took time to be with us this morning. The hymn that we're going to sing now, sing together. The words are available down in the chat section. If you find the chat button, click on it. You'll see the lyrics there. It's two verses. The guitar is going to play the song down once, and then you'll hear the singing, and you can join in the two verses of O Worship the King, number 73 in the hymnal, if you have a hymnal. Worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing of power and God's love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee we do trust, nor find thee fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and friend.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that. This is the time we share our celebrations, and I have a celebration today. On Thursday evening, several deacons met with five people who had voiced an interest in joining the membership of Central Congregational Church. And when we get back to the sanctuary, we will celebrate this together. But we welcome today our newest members, Kylie and Ken Macy, Tammy Matthews, and Walter and Sandra Thibodeau. So feel free to give that a little bit of applause for that. Absolutely. So welcome to Central Congregational Church. And we will celebrate that in a more appropriate way when this pandemic is slowed down enough to get back together again. Most of you know Mr. Dave as our musical director. Many of you don't know he's also has an artistic streak. And so I'd like to celebrate the fact that Dave repainted and fixed the sign on the flowering cross that's always out in the CE building lawn at this time of the year during Lent. So Mr. Dave, thank you very much. And we applaud all of your efforts. Thank you. Is there anyone else that has a celebration they would like to share? By all means, unmute yourself and speak up. If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning, as usual, for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including these people. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Ed and Janet, and Brigida, for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, for Jennifer, for Marie, for Lee, for Jane and her family. We pray also for Cheryl, who is going to be undergoing a heart procedure tomorrow. She's in Brighton at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. We pray for Len at home in hospice and for Nancy, who is taking good care of him. We pray for Bob Avoy and Sister Marge. We also have a young lady, Corinne, Ann McElwee's daughter, who is in the hospital in Rhode Island. And she has some complications having mini strokes. We continue to pray for AJ, the Bishop Feehan hockey player sent to rehabilitation in Georgia, I believe. We should continue to also to pray for all of the people in Texas in the midst of their terrible disaster. I'm pretty sure that OCWM money is probably going to Texas as well through the various UCC churches in that state. For those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, we pray for Jackie and for Carolyn. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray especially for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. God of all people and all nations, hear our prayers that we bring to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your church and refine your people, young and old alike, to be the salt of the earth. Unite all who honor the name of your Son, Jesus. Help us to make this church strong in our witness to his grace offered to all who receive your messenger, Jesus Christ, and that message of peace and love and joy. May the love you have for the outcast, the hungry, the homeless, the refugee at our gate be spread amongst us as we try in some small ways to be your hands in the world. Hear our prayers for our country and our leaders. Amid the rancor and divisiveness of this time, guide us to be more tolerant for those who seem different from us. Heal our wounds and bind up our national and personal anger. Lead us to a place of peace and teach us to give true consideration for the freedom of all. Eliminate all greed and help us to give support to those who seek justice for others who have been oppressed, wronged, or defrauded of what is rightfully theirs as your children. And heal the sick, cheer the sad, relieve the anxious, give peace of mind to those who are dealing with depression or other mental illness. Be especially with all of those whom we have mentioned this morning, and hear the prayers of all of us as we call out other names in this time of silence in our homes. Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory and praise, world without end. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. In a continuation of the story of God's great care and hope for us last Sunday, we learned that God renews the covenant once again in today's reading. I will be reading from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Please hear these words. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
And thank you, Wayne, for that reading. Last week, we looked at the story of Noah. We learned it was the first time God made a covenant. Now, a covenant is a biblical word for a deal, an agreement, a contract, if you will. And so God made a covenant with human beings. The promise was that God would never again destroy the earth with a flood. And Noah and his family were to leave the ark and populate the earth. In today's lesson that Wayne just read, we hear about a man named Abram and his wife Sarai. This is 400 years after Noah. And how do we know that? By counting all of the generations mentioned in Genesis between the two men, that's how. In these words, we see a continuation of the covenant or the promise between God and us, we mere mortals. It happens when we're told that Abram was 99 years old. Now, for those of us quickly approaching 99, we learn some things as we get older. For example, I remember being at my 50th class reunion a few years ago, my high school graduation, and I was sitting in my car in the parking lot watching my classmates walk by, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, did they ever get old? Of course, I hadn't aged a bit in 50 years. No, not one bit. Well, you know how that goes. This story in Genesis begins like this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between you and me, and we will greatly increase your numbers. 99 years old. Now, was that truly 99 years as we know it? We don't really know. Was the calculation made by average age, by a lunar calendar? We just don't know. But we do know, and we're supposed to understand, that Abram and Sarai are way beyond the childbearing years. And this was not the first time that God asked something from Abram. He was the leader of a tribe. And it's said that Jewish history began with a command to Abram, which he received from God, to leave the country in which he was born and to go, as it says in Genesis, to a land I will show you. And that land, we believe, is modern day Israel. Now that happened in Genesis 12. Abram believed God when God said, take up your family and go. That meant the tribe. And so Abram went. That was the kind of faith that Abram had. And it was that faith that gave birth to the nation of Israel. Once again, God challenges Abram's faith with an even more fantastic promise. God tells Abram that Sarai, his aging wife, will bear him a son, and he would become the father of many nations. And God changed Abram's name to Abraham on that day, which means father of multitudes, and Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess. This is not unlike Jesus renaming the apostle Simon, if you recall, and calling him Peter, the rock upon which he would build his church. Peter means rock. We hear it in the word petrify when we turn something to rock. Well, Abraham and Sarah were old and probably married at a very young age. And for all the time that they had been married, they had not been able to bear a child. Abraham laughed out loud at first. How could this be? And he asked God, how could it be that a woman of 90 and a man of 100 could become parents? But again, he placed his faith in God. St. Paul is always talking about the faithfulness of Abraham. He tells us that Abraham hoped against hope that the message was true. And Abraham moved forward in faith. Sure enough, Sarah bore a son and they called his name Isaac. As we consider Abraham's example today, we see what faith really is. Faith should be a dynamic, forward-looking relationship with God. Faith is not sitting on our hands and waiting for God to perform some kind of a miracle on our behalf. Faith is a matter of movement. It's a matter of achievement. It's a matter of reaching out for a miracle. It's a matter of obedience to God's desires and not our own. There's a story about Bob Zupke, the colorful former Hall of Fame football coach at the University of Illinois. Zupke was trying to get his team prepared to play the University of Iowa, which was a stronger team. And he did what coaches do. He gave the pep talk. Men, he roared, I want you to get in there and die for Illinois. Nobody will be taken out unless he's dead. Get that? Unless he is dead. Well, the inspired but overmatched Illinois team played Iowa to a standstill until late in the fourth quarter, and they finally ran out of gas. And in fact, one of the frail Illinois halfbacks literally keeled over from exhaustion. The coach grabbed one of his younger players and yelled, get in there and replace that man. The young man, with fair intrepidation, dashed out to where the exhausted man lay, and then he came right back to the sidelines. And the coach says, what in the world's wrong with you? Why didn't you take that man's place like I told you? And he said, well, coach, he's still breathing a little. You said he couldn't come out unless he was dead. That young football player tried to take what the coach said literally, but he ended up in the doghouse anyway because he did not follow the coach's instruction. Jesus has given us instructions to love and serve and to give ourselves for our brothers and sisters. We are not simply to be passive spectators. We are to get into the game of life and do what we can to help others. And in so many ways, I'm proud of Central Congregational Church because so many of us do that. Like Abraham, we Christians are called to risk for our faith. I love the fact when Heather said that some of the Sunday school one Sunday talked about changing negatives into positives. It seems that so many of our attitudes about life are expressed in cautious negative terms. Think about it. What does the weather person say when they give the forecast? Tomorrow there will be a 20% chance of rain. Do they ever say tomorrow there will be an 80% chance of sunshine? No. When you're giving directions to somebody on the street, we are apt to say something like, go down to the third red light. Well, guess what? 50% of the time that light is going to be green, but we never say go to the third green light. Faith has a positive outlook. Faith is being willing to heed God's command regardless of how daunting a task may be. Real faith is when we seek to live courageously in this crazy world, staking everything we are and hope to be on God's eternal purpose and promise. Like Abraham, hoping against hope that the message of an eternal covenant is true. And it came true for him. That is real faith. That is the kind of faith that can turn the world upside down. So may we learn these things from Abraham and Sarah. Amen.
Empowered by the God who has met us here in what we have heard and said and done, we go forward loved, forgiven, renewed, and never to be the same again. We go forward in faith to share new life with those around us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And as usual, we welcome you to our no coffee unless you go get it for yourself coffee hour that we like to have immediately after the service. Yeah, Dave's already got his. He's ready to go.